This is A New World Order, and I am Chancellor Zancy Weber of the National Council of Zane Australia, here with my colleagues from across the seas. One who really, 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 really smells, and the other who can't help but tell everyone.
He smells. I've been telling you all day. Aww. Solidifying myself as the second one, Sebastian of the United States of World America. Hello.
Well done, Sebastian.
I only got there just by pure order of hellos.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's exactly. Well done.
Yeah.
Well done for being the second in line.
Absolutely.
You could have claimed not to know who smells.
No, it's him.
Meaning it's that it was him. You.
Why would I do that? Why would I fall on that sword for this war criminal?
That doesn't exclude you from being smelly also.
No, that's true. But it definitely means that you are the smelly one though.
Well, I as could the also smelly smell. One, I am Andrew Schossler, the most supreme magnificent overlord of everything you ever saw in the great Confederacy of Andropolia.
And if you're joining us for the first time, each week we deal with an issue that is plaguing our virtual nations on nationstates.net while trying to stay true to our own unique political leanings.
Easy if you run your own country.
Easy.
Sometimes. Oh, quick fire questions. Sum up your nation in one word.
Freedom.
Scientific.
Mine's hyphenated, but it's big dogs.
Two big dogs.
No. There's like six big dogs, but they have three heads each. And we're not ready to do the math on how many big dogs that is.
Six.
Yeah, but they have three heads each with different brains. So I would debate there's 18 dogs is what I would say.
All right. I have a thing.
I would love to help you out with this issue. You read it, but just leave all the higher thought to me, mate. I got this.
Okay, well, last week was a pretty serious one, so let's hope that this one's not quite so serious. Playful petitions pester politicians. A petition calling for me to wear nothing but swimming attire and a top hat during speeches and public events was discussed in detail by the government, including a fierce debate on which colours would suit me best. After updating my wardrobe and feeling angry and somewhat embarrassed, I called a meeting with my advisors to discuss how ridiculous petitions seem to have become.
Are there no pressing issues in Zane Australia?
We just dealt with the immigration issue that sprung up out of nowhere.
So you celebrated with a ridiculous petition?
Well, I am enough of these ridiculous petitions. Let's get on with doing government.
I think I actually had this one.
You have.
Back in like season one. And maybe the answers will trigger my memories, but I've got no idea what I did.
There are four options. Your fashion choices aside, these petitions are getting out of hand, claims a rather stressed out aide after taking a nap on the mountain of petitions. Not a day passes without me being inundated with senseless petitions, like asking us to ban breezing or to add whale surfing into the national curriculum. We should introduce the petition curators to make sure that only legitimate petitions make it through. They'll cut out all the less desirable ones.
Uh-huh.
Government censorship of like, yeah, like why even have petitions if you have people who decide which are important?
No, this is not a legitimate criticism of the government.
Yes. Really, like the only, we'll see.
Why waste time with petitions anyway?
Tuts one of my top staffers while absentmindedly shredding a petition to construct something called a Death Star.
The petitions are a waste of everyone's time, and we'd be better off ignoring them. It's not like their opinions matter. We shouldn't concern ourselves with what, for instance, people think our public building should look like. Seriously, banana-shaped offices.
Yeah.
So ignore petitions.
Bertie McBoatface is there because of the same process.
Option number three. People have the right to sign some paper and complain about how things are being run, presses one of my more eager assistants who dreams of becoming a politician one day. It doesn't matter how ridiculous the petition may seem, it should be looked upon in detail to see if it has merit. Even if it requires extra work for us, there must be something useful to be found within them, surely.
When you send a petition to the government, who do you send it to? Do you just address it the Senate.
I believe you send it to a senator.
Who then introduces it
yeah.
to the rest of the parliament.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, that makes sense. Yeah. So to your representative.
It's usually like the ones that you see getting passed around, if they're a petition for a council or whatever, like whoever it's meant to, you would send it to a number of interested parties within that. So
I see, of course.
Yeah, so the Speaker of the House and probably the leadership of both parties in Australia.
I mean, I would imagine if it's just a petition for your city, you would send it to the mayor. Yeah.
Option number four.
Really boring so far. I hope yeah. a ringer.
I think this petition makes a very important point, argues my minister of making things look good, who also happens to be my personal hairstylist. Mm-hmm. You could really do with a makeover. It would be a hit with the public and your speeches would have a new lease of life to them. After all, if a petition calls for you to change your appearance, then obviously people think you'd look better that way. So let's ignore the petitions altogether and just get a makeover for the head of state.
Yep. For the cameras. Distract and dazzle.
All right, give me the 4-point summary of all of them because good, so I'm glad number four is winning.
So option number one is appoint a panel to decide which petitions have merit.
Out.
Option number two is ignore petitions altogether.
Out. Out even more
option
than the first
one. Option number three is basically hire more people to deal with the petitions to see if there is merit to any of them. And option number four is have a makeover.
Well, no, is option number four have a makeover or just doing what a petition says?
I think I know this it's petition literally doing that, makes a very important point. You could really do with a makeover. It would be a hit with the public and your speeches would have a new lease of life to them. After all, if a petition calls for you to change your appearance, then obviously people think you look better that way.
Please feel free to tell me if I'm wrong, that this is trying to say, do what the petitions say if they've got enough. Because it's not, I don't think it's just saying get a makeover. I feel like this option leans you into just doing what substantial petitions ask you to do.
I think this one is change nothing because at the moment, this petition has gone and been debated in Parliament, and so things have happened. And so he's like, well, we got to deal with this petition.
I'm going to offer a defense of number two, which is to ignore petitions. If you're electing representatives to carry out the mm-hmm. business of the government, and they obviously have a majority backing in order to get in, then they shouldn't then be... I mean, they can be criticised, but they should be... They should be trusted to carry out, you know, the promises that got them elected.
Mm.
They mm-hmm. shouldn't then be micromanaged through these petitions. In that, okay, you're our guy now, and so we'd like you to do this. Because then, what's the point of having elections in the first place? You just have whoever you know bureaucrat is in there, and all he does is manage the flow of petitions.
Okay.
If you're going to the trouble of electing somebody, then you have to give them a chance to do their job.
In this...
And cut out the red tape.
In the current world situation, in Zainstralia, I want to encourage civic participation.
Right.
So I don't want to just ignore... Zed makes a decision, but I wouldn't choose to just ignore all petitions. But that being said, they can be a nuisance. And I think it also gives an outlet to people who obviously didn't vote. So that if there is a particular issue that perhaps has majority backing, but your elected representative has decided to ignore that to follow party lines, say, rather than his constituency's view, then I can see petitions having value. So for me, it's between one and three. I hate the idea of one because that can immediately be taken. Whoever has control of that panel decides what petitions the government sees. Number three increases the size of the government, and my government's already very large. So it's kind of the
Aren't
two
Aren't you
evils.
Saying that ultimately you would like everybody to be a participant in the government?
Yes. Yeah.
So your government is clearly not large enough. Until it encompasses the entire population.
I guess in this situation, yes, that is true. So obviously, I think Zainstralia would probably go for three, yeah. Ideally,
it doesn't
government
increase
has
the size of the
less power. less power, more participation.
But it then increases the burden on all the incumbent politicians to have to give the same weight to every single petition that comes in.
Correct.
Let me.
Well, it's not the same way.
There may not be enough time.
You have to examine petitions.
There may not be enough time to examine.
Oh, yeah. You could get doxed. You could dox it. You could dox the government.
And there'll be immediately a backlog that will just continue to grow.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a good way to go.
Well, allow me to petition you for a second.
Oh, you don't have to petition me at all. You get to decide which one to go.
Oh, no. I'm going to leave this in your hands, kind of. We have two options on the table as far as I'm concerned. It's 3 and 4, Zane. But you hear me out. How many more episodes do I have you for currently?
After this one you get it. One more, which is the Patreon episode.
So I've shown restraint for these past 2 or 3. No one's died. Everyone's had a good time. Business as usual.
Underpants on everybody's head.
I have my fun. I select option 4. And next week, I've already had my fun. I go option 3. And next week, we roll the dice and see when I'm going to have my fun. What if it's worse? Would you rather take the enemy that you can see right now, option 4, or what is inside the mystery box next week?
Seb, why are you threatening?
Oh, I'm threatening him with a makeover right now. Let's be very clear.
I need to choose what issue gets brought up.
Yes, and I will choose. I will choose the worst option next week.
You are literally saying, I am going to screw you around.
Would you rather me screw you around while you're looking or when you're not looking, though? I think this is progress.
Okay. Well, look, honestly,
I think this is honestly very fair. I do. Option 4, I think, is very fair.
I'll take option 4. I don't feel strongly enough to treat petitions in any other way than they're already being treated. Honestly, this issue came about, it says canonically, because I had an issue with the way that petitions were being treated, but there isn't another good option there, so let's go number 4.
Yep.
I'll just have a makeover.
Yay! Look at me, I'm making the nation better already. And all it took was some sinister overtones.
Leader is spearheading a new fashion trend of wearing swimming goggles and medieval armor. Economic growth exceeds forecast. Voters alert and engaged. Incomes rising, economist says. City workers harassed by street urchins. Retail up 9.7%. Culture up 1.4%. And then below 1% is average disposable income, economic output, average income, and tourism. The biggest down is a good down, with political apathy down 3.2%. And below 1% is weather, public transport, agriculture, welfare, cheese exports, and taxation.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
No, thank you. You chose right. You chose right from that free choice. A completely free choice.
Mm-hmm.
And next week...
Now I've got another free choice coming up.
Absolutely.
So let's see...
I picked a really serious one here. It's called bowel motions. A survey of the plumbing industry has noted that in recent times, toilet basin sizes and flush volumes have been on the increase.
Okay, yeah. Is that a problem?
Let's get me and Joe involved in this. Option 1. Giant toilets are a giant problem, declares environmentalist Hack Shatter. The nation generates a considerable carbon footprint and a great deal of chemical waste to create tap quality water for your households. Then you dump a quarter to half of it back into the sewers through flushing. We need regulations to maximize a basin and flush volume to prevent us being too wasteful with water.
Okay.
Yep, they're all pretty that was kind of sensible. I assume they get worse.
Not really.
So that's
how's that sensible?
It's regulating the toilet industry.
Yep. It's about damn time.
If I have a really big poo once a day and I use, you know, 2-3 flushes, right, to get it all the way down, that may be 12 liters.
You're going to jail, is what this is saying. Yeah, absolutely. Right to the jail.
Why is that a problem? And how is restricting the basin size? All it's going to do is increase the number of times I need to flush. In fact, I may not be able to flush enough with a smaller tank.
Hey, this is a very good feedback. unfortunately, you're now behind that glass in a prison and you don't have the phone on. So I can't hear you because you're in prison because of the crimes you just committed.
What crimes?
Oh, the crimes of pooping in your own house.
Andrew.
How dare I?
You're going to toilet jail. Okay. Option two.
The worst kind of jail.
That's it. No trial? I'm just in jail.
You're lucky the toilet executioner didn't come for you. Oh, come on. I need a powerful flush, complains generously proportioned food loving Marin. Oh no, that's a surname. Marin. Look, when you've got
Marin's surname.
You've got a Breakerland steamer coming down the way. Oh no, this is awful. This is awful. Sorry. You don't want it sailing in a shallow river. I pay my water bill. I bought my throne. My business is not the government's business.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, she's also going to jail.
Now, if your concern is that a lot of money is being spent on purifying the water so that it's of drinking quality, right, and you do only have one water line to your house, I think it would be impractical to have a potable and non-potable water supply to your house. It's just make it all potable and that's fine. Then price it accordingly. Price it as is, and it will be used in reflection of that value.
Or alternatively, charge per poop.
We got it.
Urine town.
This person's going. Option 3 of 4. Up the creek without a paddle. I've got a compromise solution, smiles bright looking junior minister Shinzo. Oh my god. Golden shower. Oh no, god, okay. Yeah. Yep, cool. It was written German style, so I just saw this gigantic name and yep, okay. You could tax drinking water quality on monthly bills, but let people use untreated grey water at a discount. This will give people an incentive to use drinking water only for drinking.
Yep, there you go.
Option four.
Secondary supply, yeah.
Option four, I'm going to call it out now, is the one I would go with, which is the one I'm about to read out now. Big job. Big science has the answer. Enthusiast experimental biologist Apu Midmunch.
Lasers.
Why not flush a little money in the direction of developing my newest innovation? I call it the Eater. This bio toilet uses engineered friendly bacteria friendly bacteria to efficiently digest human waste and produce a tank full of methane biofuel as a side product. Good for the environment, good for cutting household bills, basically just good shit. The noisy flatulence of your junior minister cuts his word short.
Okay.
That's just like, hey, why don't we just stop wasting water in general and just like science this bitch?
Okay, sure. And
I'm paying for it.
What do you do with them? Yeah, I know you are.
Absolutely.
You pay for everything else. That's fine.
Absolutely. Why would I stop
and
now?
I'm sure nobody will disagree with you. What do you do with the methane once it's
Oh, yeah, we just you just light it.
No, you sell it.
No, you sell it to methane people. Yeah.
All right.
That's why Zane's going to toilet science lab school. Yep. I couldn't think of the opposite of toilet prison. Toilet world.
Toilet so, university?
Toilet university. That's great. I like, good. So, but I mean, that's what I would do, but it doesn't matter what I would do. It matters what Zane's going to do. What are you thinking, buddy?
Just give me the 4 points.
All right, so starting...
Hang on, why is number four a good one?
Just taking water out of the equation. Why the fuck not?
At a huge expense.
Yeah, I don't care. I'll pay for it.
It may just be cheaper to use the water.
Yeah, it might be cheaper, but I think long term, we're going to all like that water in our public pools. Option one, smaller toilets. Was that pretty much the gist of it?
Yes.
Regulate
system.
Yeah, regulation. Yeah, yeah. Option two. Let me buy the biggest toilet in the world. I don't care. I'll pay for it myself because I'm Johnny Citizen. Mm-hmm. Option three. So it was tax drinking water on monthly bills, but let people use untreated grey water at a discount.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that seems like physically an awkward thing to make someone have to do because it doesn't talk about actually piping it all.
No, you just give them a water tank that collects their own grey water and then they use that in the system.
Yeah. It's just like using, you know, your laundry water to flush your toilet.
Okay.
So it's already a solution in rural communities.
So option three and then option four is let's just science this. Option three and four are honestly, for me, fine. I would go option four, just for the sake of, it just takes that. Now you can use that water, that grey water, for your gardening. I don't care, mate.
Okay.
As opposed to, as in, let people get
you're their ignoring the fact that this is exceedingly expensive to install. Well, to install, I think, a housing of bacteria in everybody's house that collects methane gas.
Mm.
Instead of just flushing that shit away so you don't get diseases.
Yeah, I'm curious how fast acting this bacteria is.
It'd take days or weeks to process. I mean, it's not like it's impossible to do. And a lot of sewage plants.
This toilet exists right now.
Yeah, it's ones they use like most national parks and shit. Yeah. But just a faster home version. I'm going to say
option number three. Like, that's the logical choice. Yeah,
three's also fine.
There's no huge investment. It's recycling, existing infrastructure, etc.
Garden flower shows rarely smelly as roses. Oh my, what? Garden flower shows rarely smell of roses. There we go. Outbreak closes school, but definitely not contagious, teacher says. Auto industry hits speed bump. Parents applaud government discipline. Look at how disciplined we are. Tourism industry braces for influx. Wow. Wowie. Wowie this. Yowie wowie. This is a weird result.
My biggest authoritarianism up 10,000%.
No,
weaponization 720%.
I mean, it's not those things, but this is
illegal pooping up 600%.
My biggest increase by 21%, tourism. Come check out them funny toilets. We got to travel all the way.
I think what that's saying is that it's having a good environmental impact. Well,
the next one is environmental beauty up 9%. Yeah. So yeah,
because it's similar. I guess they're drawing the equation from less water consumption equals better environment. Similar to like the farming usage having a very negative impact on the Murray Darling.
Yeah,
because overusage is draining the natural river.
So cheese exports up 8%. Average disposable income up 4%. It patters off. It's still a while till I get into like the lesses, but I mean, weather up 2% somehow. Now, this is interesting.
I always love that flash of red that comes over your face when you scroll down.
My biggest down by 17%. Charmlessness.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So it's more charming now.
Good.
That's directly related to your environmental beauty going up.
Good. My death rate also down 6%. Apparently, people with their monstrous toilets were just fucking drowning themselves.
All their children.
Obesity down 4%. I don't know, once again, no coral. It's nicer outside. People are running, I guess. Yep. Going outside, yeah.
Better weather, more exercise.
Taxation down 3%. Eco-friendliness and gambling and wood chipping and every industry down 2%. Why are they all down?
Everyone wants the utilities to be outside now.
Yeah. But either way, very strong results here. I'm a very happy boy. And I will say it did raise employment by 1%. So somehow taking away the job of an actual utilities company to outsource water to like someone collecting their own somehow employed someone.
They still treat water. It's just that they don't need to pump as much now.
But my employment numbers went up. So we're hiring more people to do less.
Yeah, because now you've got...
so sub-American.
No, because now you've got all these plumbers that need to plumb in grey lines your house.
At my expense. Yeah. No. Johnny Citizen, don't you pull out that coin purse. Daddy has it.
Yeah, I already took it from you.
No, you've got it. You get 60% of it.
Hospitals have requested that they be allowed to pay people for donating blood and other bodily organs, such as kidneys. We remain critically short of blood, plasma and various organs, says Andropolia 1 Hospital Administrator Tarquin Siskel. Especially hearts. A good heart is hard to find. But if we were allowed to pay for donations, we'd get more of them and could save more lives. Plus the donor takes home a few hundred amples in compensation. Unless it's a post-mortem donation, of course. In that case, we'd pay the family. Okay. Option 2 of 2.
Mm.
Great idea, says social commentator Barack Berenstein. Except for one thing. You know who's going to be selling their organs?
Me.
Poor people.
Yeah, it's true.
They
have the worst organs.
They'll be so desperate for money that they'll sell their own kidneys. Well, a kidney. This is just another way for the rich to buy themselves a better life at the expense of the poor. It must be outlawed. If you're wealthy,
mm-hmm.
would you buy a kidney just to have one?
I mean, as in just to have a third one? Yeah.
Let's say
if I needed one,
let's say you needed one. Let's say you needed one. Are you going to be discriminating in any way as to the source of that kidney? Do you care that it comes from a poor person? Are you going to be a miser when it comes to your own kidney transplant?
No.
No. You're going to buy yourself a nice kidney.
Yes.
Perhaps from some athletic person who has just been involved in a motorcycle accident.
Perhaps.
Or
No, you guys got it all wrong. What you want to do is get the kidney and the liver of an alcoholic. You're like a hard-working organ. You want to make sure it's doing its job, you know. I don't want some shitty, like, two-year-old kid that's
you're the one that's on the verge of cirrhosis.
Absolutely. Well, that's what you know it's trying. And it's what I find it's more people that try and put in effort than people that are good at things. Like, I want somebody that struggles, but they get through it because through perseverance. Yeah. I don't want some bullshit, naturally talented prick just walking in. No, fuck that. No. Give me the blue-collar kidney.
The problem I would have with this, I'm not worried about poor people selling their organs, because for any sale to happen, you also need a buyer. And I would imagine if I was buying organs, right, if I was, you know, a part of my own health in that, I would want to know the source. I would want to know if, you know, it's been screened, if it's going to...
I don't think this person is saying that the quality of the organs is going to be lower because it's poor people.
They're saying...
That rich people are going to exploit.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And I'm immediately shutting that down and saying no, because a poor person who is, you know, going to sell their organ for a pittance, you know, it's not necessarily going to be an attractive purchase for somebody who has that money.
Agreed.
Poor people will probably end up selling organs to each other. In fact, the one thing I would worry about is an increase in crime of people being kidnapped and organ napped, essentially, and a black market springing up for their organs. But in saying that, all the laws that protect people against that are already in place, so I wouldn't expect a sharp rise in that sort of behaviour, especially once you get to an open marketplace. I mean, people are going to want to know and meet the people, if they're still living, of course, who are donating the organs. I would.
Mm.
Oh, of course, yeah, I'm going to take a slice of your liver. I'd love to make that deal.
And kill them and get the whole lot.
Well, no, because then you're up for murder. It's not like you're absolved of
murder.
You
don't do it. You're rich. Just pay someone else to do it. Let's pay another poor person to do it.
I'm going to accept number one. Unless there's a veto.
So there's only two?
There's only two.
Oh, yeah. No, there's only two. Number one.
It's to allow for
consent is consent.
Yep, that's exactly
regardless of whether you're rich or poor.
Yep. And if you don't consent, that's another issue. Yes. And that's when you get police involved. All right. College students make ends meet by selling their kidneys.
Okay. All right.
Sure. That's a decision you've made.
They already already donate eggs and sperm. So.
That's exactly right. The Andropoli Center reports entrepreneurs back government initiative. Fitness craze sweeps nation again. Woman dies in elevator shaft mishap. And conservative groups demand government response on crime.
Give us response on crime.
Wealth gaps up 3%, health up 2%, ideological radicality and lifespan up 1.5%, weather up 1%. Crime is up 0.33% for reference. It made the headlines, but it's up only 0.33%.
Yeah.
As far as the downtrends are concerned, also not much has changed. Safety is down 1%, obesity down 1%, authoritarianism down 1.5%. And income equality down 3%.
So health went up, but lifespan didn't. That's interesting.
Lifespan was not... went up 1.5%.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
So did I miss that one?
Yes.
Ideological radicality and lifespan up 1.5%.
Cool.
So we're grazing the lining of the cloud at 53 years.
Oof. What are you going to do with all that extra time?
Well, I might sell an organ or two.
All right, well, that's been us for another week. The next time you hear us, we will be switching brains again.
Oh, dear.
And hopefully Zainstralia gets control of Zainstralia once more.
I look forward to enriching and enhancing both of you guys. You're so close to perfection. You're one 5-episode stint of me in your nation away from perfection. I can feel it. You, Andrew, you're this close to world peace. You just got to not nuke people anymore. And Zane, oh, mate, we're so close.
How is Andy that close to world peace and I am not? We exist in the same world.
I'm not going
to
fight myself, am I? And if nobody else exists, who else is there?
Well, quite right.
That was kind of exactly what I was doing with it. So yeah, that. Thank you. And guys, we're all so close to some sort of cultural enlightenment.
I'm interested to see how you're going to improve Zane Australia, being that's already ahead of you in pretty much every measurable way.
You've got good, great science, and I think it's about time we were like, yeah, science is cool, but how do we feel about abstract fantasy things? I'm going to start dipping you into a more medieval context.
We have dinosaur soldiers.
But you could use dragons. I think it's about time.
Oh, could we?
You had dragons.
Could we use dragons?
I think it's time.
Weird.
Yeah.
Weird that you had that thought just now.
It's before it didn't feel right, but right now, I think it's the right time
for
dragons.
We also have a gypsy department in our government.
Absolutely. So you're getting there. I'm thinking vampires. I'm thinking werewolves. I'm thinking... what do you call them? Spanish people. We need more Spanish people too. We'll just flood them all in.
You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Twitter. You can find us on Patreon at patreon.com/ Our New World Order podcast. And we'll be back same time next week with another episode. Until then, I have been Zane C. Weber, Chancellor of the National Council of Zane Australia, twirling forever towards the future.
Funny coincidence. I'm Sebastian of the Council of Zane thing as well. But also... sometimes the Andrew one. But right now...
Not this week.
Hey,
thank God.
One more. Oh, I'm so close. I can taste.
No,
I can
you
taste.
Are never... You are never getting your hands on... I will burn through every single veto I have.
Spoken like a true warlord. I'm Sebastian of the United States of World America. We've achieved peace in my time. What about yours?
I've been Andrew Schossler, the most supreme, magnificent overlord of everything you ever saw in the great Confederacy of Andropolia, imploring you all, carte blanche, sans plume.
Till next time, gentlemen.
So what mountain were the stones in the walls of this specific monastery mined from exactly?
Wait, can my character take a dump?
What's the governmental structure of every town in this entire
Which
continent?
Magic using class is like the most attractive?
How do these people know how to make tunnels under their town when all they do is farm
and smell? Why does the genie always
you?
Refuse to make people fall in love with me? Like,
if
who hurt
poison
him?
Rules are the same for every player race, does that mean they all have
can
the
my
same
character
digestive
have a pet?
System?
Ooh, can that pet have a pet?
Are your players asking too many questions? Do you really know how your world works? Don't you wish there was a podcast that made this whole thing easier? Come on over to Dungeon Deep Dive, your favourite fantasy world-building podcast. Whether it's tabletop RPGs or creative writing, we do the research so you don't have to. Find us on your podcatcher of choice or on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram on @DungeonDeepDive.